People are under the impression that the internet is sort of anonymous by default. They don't know how many digital trails they're leaving behind.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Karen Riley. She heads up the TOR project. Karen, thanks for talking with us.
Good to be here.
TOR bills itself as an online anonymity tool that allows you to browse the internet, interact online without being traceable. Tell us a little bit about how TOR works.
So what TOR does is it bounces your communications through three relays that are randomly selected from a volunteer network of about 3,000 in 90 countries. So you can download the TOR browser bundle for free, and then you connect to this volunteer network, randomly select your three relays, it connects to it, and then a version of Firefox that's configured to protect you against all sorts of other attacks from plugins and other malicious software bounces up, and then you are free to browse freely.
Talk about how the idea for the TOR project came about. What are its roots, and what do you hope to achieve?
TOR actually began as a project of the Naval Research Laboratory. The idea behind it for a military application is that if your adversary can tell where your communication hub is, whether it's a person who talks to everybody, whether it's a ship, whether it's an installation somewhere, then they can disrupt your entire operation by going after that target. So TOR separates the origin and the destination of your communication.
About how many people, do you have any sense of how many people? You have 3,000 volunteers in 90 countries. How many users do you have, or do you keep track of that?
We have a project of about measuring anonymous networks without giving up end user information. So with this, we're able to tell that we have about 500,000 daily users.
What are some of the reasons why typical Americans might want to use TOR?
Well, we've asked. We don't give up their information unless someone actually says, yes, tell my story. Because TOR exists to give you a choice about how much information you give up. Mm-hmm. Now, we talk to people who just think that widespread surveillance is creepy. They have a medical condition that they don't want their internet service provider to know about because that information isn't covered under HIPAA. Or maybe it's someone in a rural area where their ISP is one person, and that person abuses their position of power to know what everybody in their community is doing. We also talk to victims of violence who need to reach out to their peers in order to get support. But sometimes going through horrible things carries a stigma. And you shouldn't have no access to a support network just because people are jerks who don't have empathy. There's a lot of everyday reasons why people would use TOR. You don't necessarily have to be somebody who's under a particular threat to want privacy.
Are people waking up to the idea that the internet is not possibly as anonymous or as private as they once thought?
People are under the impression that the internet is sort of anonymous by default. They don't know how many digital trails they're leaving behind. So these are things that we've known to be technically possible, but a lot of people react to us as if we have tinfoil hats on and say, well, I'm not important. Why would anybody be tracking what I do? And this includes a lot of activists who tend to be really, really humble. So I'm not really a target, I'm not that important.
Barack Obama came into office promising the most transparent administration ever. He doesn't seem to be particularly internet savvy, but he kind of positions himself as a forward guy who has an iPod, you know, this type of stuff. Is it particularly useful that, you know, people recognize that this happens under George Bush, and it happens under Barack Obama?
Well, restricting power isn't a matter of whether you like this administration or this one. It's about restricting power because that person that you trust with that power is not always going to be the president.
TOR is not, you would not say TOR is in the service of a particular ideology. It's more of a technology. Could you explain that a little bit?
So we're not a democracy promotion tool. We're not for any particular group of people. We exist to give ordinary people control over their information. We exist to sort of restore the balance of power between the powerless and the powerful, to be able to speak truth to power. But if you want to reform one type of system, or abolish it altogether, that's not our choice to make. We exist for freedom of expression and privacy.
Does the U.S. government, which, I mean, you know, this comes out of the Navy, it gets government support, are they okay with that, or has that been tested yet? Because there are plenty of times in the past where the U.S. government has said, you know what, freedom of expression, right up into the moment, you know, right up to the moment that we don't want freedom of expression.
Well, any government is not some sort of monolithic hive mind. There are people that are perfectly okay with Tor existing, and then there are some that believe that freedom on the internet is a great threat. But we have answers for all of them. At least in a free society, there is a balance between freedom for everybody and freedom for the people that you may not like.
Is it that, you know, that the playing field is just going to be, you know, constantly leveled as governments get, you know, more powerful and then hackers come back and level it again?
I think it requires constant vigilance. And it's not a matter of technology alone. It's about technology and policy. And some technologies, they can't completely circumvent governments. That it's just not within the power of the hackers of the world to do that. But what we can do is empower people who are reaching out to the general public and letting them know what is happening and urging them to go through legal means, but to political means to cut down on this technology. And part of that is letting people know what's happening. You can't object to something that you don't know is happening. So that's why we work with activists and journalists who are shining a light on these corrupt and dangerous practices.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. I want to thank Karen Riley of the Tor Project for talking with Reason TV. I'm Nick Gillespie. Thanks.
Thank you.